wonderful. I do want to mention, I had mentioned a love offering for the Wesco family. I talked with the pastor of the church that they attended, Brother Holloway, and they are back. They had a family memorial service, just a private memorial service on Friday, I believe it was. And then there is an open memorial for the Wesco family and the loss of Charles Wesco. There is a memorial that's open to the public at the Community Baptist Church in South Bend tomorrow. I believe it's at 10 o'clock tomorrow, maybe at 11, but I think 10. And so that's tomorrow if anybody wanted to go. Stephanie Wesco, who is the widow, flew back from Cameroon with her 8 children. She and her 12-year-old son were in the vehicle when the husband and father of the 12-year-old was shot in the head. And certainly they're reeling in pain, but also experiencing God's grace and strength from the promises of His Word. The pastor told me that the church there is going to kind of adopt them for however long is necessary from a financial aspect to help the family. A mother that's in her mid-30s with 8 children can hardly work out at the same time. And so if you would remember them in prayer, I'd mention a love offering. It's not a pressing need at this second to get it there. And so I thought I would give you a little bit more time to think and pray about over the next week. And then if you designate an offering to the Wesco family, put on your check the bottom memo, put Wesco family, and whatever comes in for that will accumulate. And then we'll send a check to the Believers Baptist Church for the Wesco family. I just would like everybody to consider and to pray and say, Lord, you know, what would you have me do? Here's a woman. They went to the mission field. In case you weren't aware, they went over to Cameroon. They'd been there 2 weeks when the husband was shot and killed. And apparently because of civil war that is on the horizon there in that country. And so now they've come back after being on the mission field 2 weeks. She's by herself with the children. And so just pray, ask the Lord what you could give to that. And then we'll whatever comes in, we'll send in one check for to help them. They don't have a house. I mean, they just got rid of everything to go to the mission field. So they don't have anything here. And so what we could do to help would be a blessing, if not at the moment, it may be in the future. For them. And so you pray about that. I certainly would like us to do something. And I know that God will bless and honor that. And if it were you, you would certainly appreciate anything that God's people did. Take your Bibles, please, and turn again to the book of Proverbs. These are such rich verses. I couldn't control myself and read responsively, so I was irresponsible and jumped in on one of the verses there. But We went through the book of Proverbs in our Wednesday Bible study recently. It took us over a year and a half, and we went verse by verse, not theme by theme. It was very rich, and certainly can't remember everything that we studied and taught, but it's like meals as a Christian, we can't, or you know, as human beings, we can't remember every meal we've had and how wonderful each thing tasted, but we wear it well, don't we? Right? We still show the effects of it. It's the same with Scripture. We may not remember every little thing that we've studied, but at that moment, it meant something to us and helped us then, and spiritually, we can still wear it. And so that's the way it is in studying Proverbs. It's so rich and so deep and so much. The volume of thought is so great that you can't retain it all. And you know, just great thoughts. And when I read Proverbs, I just get into it. Verse 23, please. Turn you at my reproof. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I've called and ye refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity, will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then Shall they call upon me, but I will not answer? They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. We see a contrast here between the outcomes of two different lives, choices, decisions, and directions. People make life choices or life decisions and take directions in life, and we see different results from those decisions and choices. Throughout the book of Proverbs, we see the righteous contrasted with the wicked, the wise with the fool, and the righteous with the unrighteous, and the contrast of repercussions that come people's way because of life choices or life decisions and because of life actions. I want you to notice in verse number 23, it says, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour my spirit unto you. I'll make known my words unto you." Promised blessing for chosen action taken. And then if you would, in verse number 30, "They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." So we have choices to listen to follow God, to hear Him, to follow His ways, or choices, decisions to neglect, ignore, turn away from what God says. And we see what comes as a result. "I'll give you wisdom and make known your words if you heed, listen, and follow. On the other hand, you'll be filled with your own devices and the fruit of your own way if you don't." And so what we have in this passage is the aspect of unintended consequences for decisions and choices that we make, both in a positive way and a negative way, but unintended consequences. Let's just pause for a moment of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have today to be here, to open up your word. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to be called your children, having been born again by faith in Christ. We now are the sons of God, passed from death unto life. We have eternal life, forgiveness of sins. We're grateful for that. But yet, Lord, in life, as we live for you, we still have decisions to make and choices to make and consequences that will come as a result. So I pray this morning that you'd challenge our hearts, glorify your name. If there's someone here that's not saved, I pray their heart would be pricked and they'd get that matter settled today. Bless this time, I ask in Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk this morning about unintended consequences. I believe the message could go on for hours. It won't. But I believe it could. I believe I could probably preach several messages from life illustrations and biblical illustrations on the thought, unintended consequences. Therefore, shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, verse 31, and be filled with their own devices? That's an amazing, powerful statement. Therefore shall they eat, therefore, they made decisions and choices and took actions. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Speaking particularly here of those who choose the wrong path away from God. When he reproves, they say, I'm not yielding. And then on the other side, in verse 31, whoso hearkeneth to me shall dwell safely. You hearken to God, that's the choice and an action. And then the consequence, you dwell safely and are quiet from fear of evil. Well, it doesn't mean things won't come your way, but you're quiet from the fear of evil. God has not given us the spirit of what? Fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And so we see different consequences that are really unintended in the decision-making process at times, but do come about. I want to run another verse by you. Proverbs 21 and verse 21. You might want to maybe jot that reference down right there. Or you can turn to it if you like. I don't mind hearing the pages of the Bible rustle. When I hear beep, 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 I know it's computer turning, but anyway. On my little computer where I turn my page of the Bible, it goes flip, flip. Oh, well. Are you excited to know that? Proverbs 21, verse 21. Why don't you read it out loud with me? Ready? He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. One of my little commentaries on that verse would say, you get more than you bargain for with God. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. An unintended consequence. Seeking after righteousness and mercy, you'll find life, righteousness, honor. Well, you were seeking righteousness and mercy. Unintended consequences. Making a right decision, following the right course of action. In Proverbs 1, we read the unintended consequences of making the wrong decisions and taking the wrong steps in life. Unintended consequences reach out in unlimited ways in both positive and negative directions. The fruit of their own way, filled with the fruit of their own devices, contains a deep and broad realm of repercussion. The fruit of ways, the filled with devices, plural, deep and broad realm of repercussions. On the other side, he that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. It presents the idea of finding things more along the lines of blessing than one even sought after. When I got saved, I was glad to be forgiven of my sins and have eternal life. But I have found so much more in unintended consequences just knowing the Lord and serving Him. The blessings that I experience. When a person gets saved and gives himself or herself over to live for God and to do the will of God, that one is going to experience far more in the way of blessings than he ever imagined. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen? That's the decision. That's the choice. That's the action. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Unintended consequences. Blessings. There are unintended consequences for decisions that we make and for actions that we take in our lives, in our daily lives. These consequences are projected based on the directions we choose. What we need to learn is to look beyond our choices to consequences that would be probable. My dad used to say, if you eat too many green apples, you'll spend the night in the bathroom. Amen? Unintended consequences. The consequences are projected based on the directions one chooses. We're so short-sighted. I see it, I want it, I like it, I'll do it. But what about the unintended consequences of that choice or that action? What we need to do is look beyond choices to consequences. They wouldn't listen. He reproved, he called, and they wouldn't listen. So they're filled with their own devices. That's not what they planned. And the other God says, I called and you came and you're going to be quiet from fear of evil. Well, we were just coming because you called. And wow. All the great things that come with that. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is what? Consequence. The Bible says in Proverbs 13 and verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. Unintended consequences. You walk with wise person, you'll learn wisdom. You'll be wise. You walk with fools, you'll fall into destruction with them. Unintended consequence. Birds of a feather flock together, and they all have the same fleas, right? You know, I can't think for 1 minute that the Pharisees and Sadducees really, really desired their descendants to be lost in sin and hellbound when they cried out about Jesus, his blood be on us and our children. Do you think they were thinking, we want our sons and daughters to never get saved and go to hell? No. An unintended consequence of rejecting Jesus Christ as Messiah, and his blood was on them and their children. Generations of Jewish people have died without putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Jesus said, if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. He's not a way, He's the way. He's the only way. Unintended consequences. Let His blood be on us and our children. Then I think of Lois in the Bible. I have a sister named Lois. I think of Lois in the Bible and how her faith impacted her daughter Eunice, and how that their faith impacted her grandson Timothy. And then I think how the Lord used Timothy to carry out the instruction to the churches in the early days of the gospel ministry. The Apostle Paul wrote this to Timothy about being thankful when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. I don't think that Lois said, I'm going to trust my Lord, the Lord is my Savior, so that when I have a grandson, I can impact him. I think that she saw her need, and when she put her faith in Christ, she didn't realize the unintended consequences in a positive way that would come about. Not considering her posterity and their potential impact when she believed in Christ, she probably only saw her need and recognized the Lord as her Savior, but what blessed consequences of her actions. Timothy, her grandson, greatly used of God in the first century. Today, we are still affected by the consequences of Lois's faith and faithfulness to the Lord. We read from the books of 1 and 2 Timothy frequently, and he helped establish order in the churches in the early apostolic days. We have reaped the benefits, the blessings, unintended consequences of her choice to put faith in Christ. I can't believe for one second that Norma McCorvey thought for one minute that the consequences of her lawsuit against the state of Texas would end up resulting in the legal slaughtering of over 60 million innocent pre-birth babies in the United States of America. I don't believe Norma McCorvey ever thought about that. In 2003, 30 years after the Supreme Court decided on January 22, 1973, Norma McCorvey filed a motion to try to get the Supreme Court to reconsider and overturn its prior decision. But abortion remains our national sin and disgrace today. 30 years later, she was too late to consider the unintended consequences of her decisions and her actions. Unintended consequences. I have sat in the jail cell. Don't stop the sentence there. Don't stop the recording there. I have sat in the jail cell with two different young men charged with first-degree murder as teenagers. One told me what had happened, and he said, "Pastor, I should have listened to you when you said not to run around with other teens drinking alcohol." The unintended consequence included the murder of an innocent lady and a life sentence in the penitentiary for a young teenage man. Totally unintended consequence. He ate in my home, attended our church. He didn't mean what happened. Think of the heartbroken families on both sides, and the painful tears shed and shed again, and the stolen happiness. There are always unintended consequences of decisions and actions we take, no matter how seemingly small they may be at the time. I'll just ride around with a bunch of guys. The other young man had become addicted to heroin as a teenager. Was charged with the murder of someone while on heroin. I know this young man. I knew him as a young person. Would never have intended to do such a horrific crime that he was charged with. But there's unintended consequences of decisions and actions in life. The United States started prohibition on January 16th, 1919. 3 days before my father-in-law was born. January 16th, 1919. And the United States ended prohibition in 1933. Temperance societies had pressured legislators to prohibit the manufacture and sale of alcohol as a beverage because of its illicit effect upon society. Amen. Having repealed prohibition, now, according to the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism, more than 80,000 people die from alcohol-related deaths each year in the United States of America. Unintended consequences. Alcohol poisoning kills 6 people every day. Alcohol-impaired driving accounts for more than 30% of all driving fatalities every year. More than 15 million people struggle with alcohol use disorder in the United States, but less than 8% even receive treatment. More than 65 million Americans report binge drinking each month. More than 40% of the total current alcohol users. Teen alcohol use kills 4,700 people every year. That's more than illegal drugs. Drunk driving costs the United States almost $200 billion every year. But we want it legal, they said. Kids who start drinking young are 7 times more likely to be in an alcohol-related motor vehicle accident when they can drive. Unintended consequences. Noah never intended for his son to be so sinfully contaminated when he drank the wine. Think of it. The legal presence of alcohol increases the accessibility of it to younger people. It increases the accessibility. I said increases it. We know people can get what they want if they really struggle for it, right? But you don't put arsenic in your shelves where the little kids can get it, do you? The legal presence of alcohol increases the accessibility of it to younger people, which, of course, increases their potential to be adversely affected and to be likewise harm others. There are unintended consequences. I grew up with some young men that became alcoholics as teenagers because alcohol was available in the home. Unintended consequences. Our fellow Michiganders, they'll be doing a lot of gandering. Our fellow Michiganders decided to legalize pot in our recently held elections. Some say that too many people had become marginalized in society because of pot possession. Well, don't have it. So criminal charges on youth will drop and revenue for the state will increase. You want to make money on the backs of destroying young people? But I think they haven't really let themselves delve into the unintended consequences their decision and people's actions will have on a generation of young people. Just the increased availability of pot for young people scares me. the homes that have the medical that had the medical marijuana privilege and had teenagers in it, I can guarantee that more teenagers did pop because it was available that way than would have. How many people became addicted to tobacco just because it was available in their homes? I know kids I grew up with still smoke. Their faces all wrinkled and rising like that, you know. They smoked for all these years. They started because their parents had it available. They could sneak a few Marlboros or, you know, and ride the horse. Remember Marlboro? I can name people who I know that became addicted to tobacco and alcohol because while they were growing up as minors, those substances were readily available to get in the home. Well, their parents didn't give it to them. No, their parents were very responsible. But it was there. The facial features are free. I think of the ill effect the decision in Michigan is going to have on young people. And I want to say this, parents, before you let your children go over to someone's house for any length of time, you better find out if they smoke, or drink, or smoke pot. You better know if it's there. Your children might be introduced to harmful substances and enticed to engage in things that will pervert the way of life. And I do know what I'm talking about. There will be increased accidents, decreased productivity and incentive, and greater reproductive problems with young men, and increased mental disorders that will happen as unintended consequences of pot legal in our state. But I'm reminded that where sin did abound, what? Grace did much more abound. The greater the darkness, the brighter the light. We can stand as greater lights and brighter influences for God in the days of increased darkness around us. I'm not afraid of the dark. I have the light of life. I want to encourage every person here today to take greater steps for righteousness in your life personally and enlarge your realm of impact spiritually. And that will be an unintended consequence. I'm going to take a stand and you'll have an impact. It'll be a great consequence. David never intended his family to have the heartaches that they had, if you know the story. Samson never intended to have his eyes plucked out and be enslaved. Abraham never intended generational conflict when he went to Hagar. Jehoshaphat, the king, never intended his grandsons being slain when he compromised. There are unintended consequences. Take someone who's constantly late to work. You know, in time is not on time. On time is before time. If you're sliding in time, you're really not on time. You know, the bells ring. Those were junior high days. Someone who's constantly late to work or has a rough attitude at work because that's just the way he is or I am. When promotion time or raise time comes, he might get passed over. An unintended consequence. Take someone who is consistently way late in paying bills and then later goes to secure a loan for a home and is denied or given a really high rate of interest because of his poor payment history. Unintended consequences. We may make the decision and take the action to witness to one specific person. And that person may become one who reaches many in turn for Christ. Unintended consequences. Sunday school teacher Edward Kimball helped lead, was instrumental in leading Dwight L. Moody to Christ. Dwight L. Moody became an evangelist, and through his years of ministry, it's reported that 1 million people came to know Jesus Christ as Savior through his evangelistic meetings. Wait. J. Wilbur Chapman was converted to Christ at a Dwight L. Moody meeting. He wrote the hymn, "One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came down to be born of a virgin, dwelt amongst men, my redeemer. Example is he. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sin far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day." That was written by J. Wilbur Chapman, who also was a very renowned evangelist and preacher in his day. Oh, wait a minute. Billy Sunday came to know the Lord at a J. Wilbur Chapman meeting. Billy Sunday, the White Sox base stealer, great player for Chicago, came to know Christ at a J. Wilbur Chapman meeting. And God used Billy Sunday to point hundreds of thousands to Christ and actually help push prohibition. But wait a minute. A man named Mordecai Ham, was converted to Christ at a Billy Sunday meeting. Preached the gospel. And at one of his meetings, a man named Billy Graham came to know the Lord as his Savior. Unintended consequences of a Sunday school teacher leading someone to Christ. Edward Kimball had the doing of right in his mind and the interest in a person when he led Dwight Moody to Christ. And millions have heard the gospel as a result. She never meant to bring her husband into harm's way with God. She never meant to bring disease into the world. She never meant to break fellowship with God. She never meant to completely contaminate her future generations. She never meant for one of her sons to rise up and murder her other son. She never meant for her, as well as all other women's child birthing, to be adversely affected. She never meant for the coming generations to be born under sin's condemnation. She certainly never intended for millions of people to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Eve just never considered the unintended consequences of her decisions and actions. "For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor." Think about who you are, where you are, and who's around you. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." There are far reaching unintended consequences, positive or negative, from the decisions and choices we make today. Today, maybe you're someone who has yet to choose Christ as your Savior. If you are not saved when you leave this world, you will hear the unintended consequence of "Depart from me, I never knew you." But I just wanted a little more time. Unintended consequences. But I wasn't quite sure. Unintended consequences. Well, I was afraid of what people might think. Unintended consequences. Well, I'm not that bad. Unintended consequences. Depart from me, for I never knew you. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Positive and negative, unintended consequences from decisions and actions that we take. Let's make decisions for the Lord and take actions for the Lord and watch what God does with it. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and I pray the Holy Spirit would stamp this thought upon our lives for your honor and glory, for our impact in a positive way in this dark world, in these dark days here. Heavenly Father, if there's someone here that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior, may that one get it settled today. You said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Help that person to know there's absolutely no reason why you wouldn't save them if they'd come. Maybe someone feels that they've done too much wrong or waited too long. Lord, they're still alive. They still hear the word. Help them to realize that your invitation is, "Come unto me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Father, if there's any Christians here this morning that are tossing around decisions that are contrary to following your ways, I pray they'd think beyond today. And Lord, thank you for the examples in life and your word of the wonderful blessings that come as we make choices for you in our life. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wondered who today would say, "Pastor, by the grace of God, by the grace of God, I want to make spiritual choices, godly choices, and take godly actions in my life, not only because it's the right thing to do, but because God does open up the windows of heaven and blessing in ways that I cannot know till later. And I want to open up my life so that God can bless me and even those that come beyond me. I want to consider the unintended consequences." Who would raise their hand this morning and say, "Preacher, by the grace of God, I'm going to think a little bit farther into the decisions I make. Pray for me." Who'd slip up their hand today? God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Sometimes we make emotional, circumstantial, immediate decisions, not realizing the future repercussions. We run from problems thinking we'll be better, and we've made things worse for so many people at times. Maybe you're in doubt thinking about making decisions. Don't do that. Walk by faith. Let the word of God order your steps, and you will experience blessed, unintended consequences. Maybe you're here this morning and you're dabbling with sin. The old saying, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you intended to pay. Unintended consequences. Let's just read aside and devote our hearts and minds to doing God's will day by day. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. If you're here and you're not sure you're saved, when we stand and sing, you come down to the front group.